Our fifth case for this morning is United States against Richard Lee. Mr. Anderson.
May it please the Court, I'm Kent Anderson with the Federal Defender's Office of the Central District of Illinois, representing the appellant Richard Lee. Mr. Lee pled guilty to possession with intent to distribute 12.1 grams crack cocaine and 29.4 grams of powder cocaine and being a felon in possession of a firearm. Now, the district court found that he qualified as a career offender. However, Mr. Lee asked the court to sentence him below the guidelines range based in part on the disparity between sentences for crack and powder cocaine, which applied, even though he was a career offender, increased his offense level from 32 to 34, and his guidelines range from 151 to 188 months to 188 to 235 months. Unfortunately, the court didn't address that argument, which under this court's cases would seem to be not much of an error, since this court has held that Kimbrough does not affect career offender sentences, which doesn't mean the court couldn't have addressed it, but I will admit certainly weakens the argument. But this court's holding does conflict with the recent holding of the Sixth Circuit and Michael last month and a couple unpublished decisions from other circuits.
So I assume at a minimum you are preserving this argument for further exploration?
Yes. Of course, we'd like the court to overturn Harris, but on the assumption that that's not likely to happen, I'm raising the issue to preserve it for possible review by the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Well, that's fair enough. Thank you. Ms. Bell?
May it please the Court, Carol Bell on behalf of the United States. This Court should reject defendant appellant's challenges to his conviction and sentence. Defendant appellant argues that the district court erred by not explaining why it rejected an argument that was not made below. Because defendant did not make his current argument involving Kimbrough before the district court, that argument is forfeited and review is for plain error.
Now, Ms. Bell, what are we to do with Mr. Lee's supplemental submission?
Well, Your Honor, the government has addressed Mr. Lee's arguments. They are before the court through his pro se supplemental brief.
However, I assume we would not say anything about his ineffectiveness argument, since that those are typically really not properly presented.
Surely, Your Honor, this court has held before and cautioned defendant appellants not to bring such arguments directly on appeal before this panel, and that it is a steep uphill climb when you have a record that's not fully developed on those issues.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with this Michael decision? I assume you disagree with it.
Your Honor. The Michaels case admits that the district court may reject the 100-to-1 ratio as it is implicitly incorporated into the career offender guidelines. However, I don't believe that even under the facts of Michael that there would be a different result here, and that the Sixth Circuit in Michael held that the defendant did not demonstrate a basis for remand because he had not objected to his sentence, and moreover, the district court and Michaels expressed no disagreement with the U.S. sentencing guidelines and even affirmatively stated that it believed the defendant's sentence there was sufficient but not greater to comply with the goals under 3553. And we have all of those factors here as well. The defendant, Richard Lee, did not object to his sentence. This argument was not raised below.
Michael says that this is a construction of the statute. Says this was an instruction to the sentencing commission, not to the district court. Is that how much?
And so the question is why under Kimbrough isn't this the same sort of sentencing guideline driven thing that from which the district courts are free to deviate if they wish? I mean, the Supreme Court may be wondering how many times they need to tell us.
Well, Your Honor, I think that this court has taken note of some of those facts in its decision in United States versus Liddell.
Oh, you're quite right. We have, but we are not the highest court in the land. There's a different group who live at 1 First Street Northeast, and my question really is who is closer to what that group of people think, the Sixth Circuit or this court?
I believe this court is, Your Honor, because even as this court has recently distinguished and discussed in the decision United States versus Knox, 28 U.S.C. 994H, which contains congressional directives to the sentencing
commission, yes,
commission.
Not to the court. Congress knows how to say the district courts shall do this or that. They do it all the time with mandatory minima, mandatory maxima.
Yes, Your Honor, and I think this court has discussed this recently in Knox as well, that there is a difference perhaps where you have a defendant who's convicted of a crime such as Mr. Lee was under 21 U.S.C. 841 that is specifically enumerated by Congress in 994H.
And if Congress had said what sentence to give such a person, then obviously that's what the court would do. But when Congress tells the Sentencing Commission to do something, why isn't that something we should read as a direction to the Sentencing Commission?
Your Honor, I believe it can be read to be a direction to the Sentencing Commission, but as this Court recently clarified in the decision in Knox, this was not a situation where the Sentencing Commission was exercising its discretion such that it was making a policy decision regarding what to do and how to charge or handle a certain enumerated
offenses. That's what we said. That's not what the Sixth Circuit said. So assuming we have perfect wisdom, I suppose that's all fine. But maybe we don't.
But the interesting part is the Sixth Circuit was purporting to follow our cases and making this decision.
Yes, Your Honor, they did cite United States versus Liddell for support. For all of these interesting issues, however, I do believe in the case before the court today that the fact remains that this issue was not raised before the district court below, the question of Kimbrough, and as such, it is not before the court in this case. It's an argument that was forfeited. It's clear from the record that the court committed no plain error here. And unless there are further questions from the panel, I'd respectfully request that this court affirm the defendant's conviction and sentence.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Anderson?
Yes, Your Honor. At sentencing, defense counsel did argue that noted the Sentencing Commission had recently changed its approach to basic crack powder sentencing and that the career offender guideline does not receive the benefits of those reductions, so therefore ask the court to consider that. That's on page 5 of the sentencing transcript. Admittedly, it could have been raised a bit more artfully, but it was preserved.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And Mr. Anderson, I want to say your office is of great assistance to the court. We appreciate it. I know you take many cases on behalf of the clients, and we appreciate your work. So I hope you take that back home.
I will. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thank you very much as well to the U.S. attorneys.